Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode, starting with the defense. And as always, joining me for that is my friend, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back after a week off from last week after the holidays. Really excited to see the Ravens get the win against the Packers and put themselves in a position for a win-it-all position for the AFC Divisional Championship.
Really special kind of weekend of football to have that Saturday night game be so such a dominant effort from the Ravens, such an outstanding effort from Tyler Huntley, even though, you know, it's a game management effort in a lot of ways by him, but really low variance offense that we'd love to take into the playoffs, which undeniably start on Sunday night. The Ravens have a 5-game playoff road. A lot of other teams get to play only four. Or three,
yeah.
As games, but the Ravens have to play five, and they have to look at it that way, in terms of what this game means on Sunday night. So, you want to start us off?
Yep. First matchup for the defense is the Ravens single high or no safety look versus the Steelers spread offense look. That is how I deem the most dangerous look that the Pittsburgh Steelers have against the Ravens. If they can get some of these weapons like MVS or Calvin Austin, one-on-one on the outside in the slot or on the outside boundary, then we would be in a really tight situation, because I know we've had success against covering the deep ball, but these past couple of weeks that against Pittsburgh first time around and then last week against Green Bay, we've shown weakness in that area. I think we're more so not trying to get beat rather than trying to make a play on the ball. And I think that stems from potentially some of the secondary coaching, the overcorrections that we're having during the game. So I think if we're able to stay sound in our technique and not let Rodgers have the pick of the litter at the line when we have a no safety or one high look, then he can go either way depending on the matchup that he likes. I want to make sure that our corners are ready on the outside, whether it be Humphrey in the slot or Nate Wiggins on the outside. He's been having a tough, rough couple of weeks here, but hopefully he can get back on the wagon and we can cover some of these deep shots that they're going to have in these spread looks.
Yeah, Wiggins gave up 18% of his yards for the season last week. It ballooned up his yards per target up to about 6.6 for the season, which is still good, but it's not as good as it was when he was hanging in there right around six or a little bit below. So, you know, there's not any one particular look that I'm like especially fearful of Rodgers taking advantage with, because there's a lot of ways he can take advantage with a ball out quickly that the Ravens can't do anything about. And obviously in week 14, we saw him do that very effectively against the Ravens, throwing the ball up down the sideline, hitting targets over the middle. We saw the Ravens have a lot of trouble with some similar things against Malik Willis in Green Bay. It was, again, a variety of pass types. The first one is very similar to the Freiermuth play to start the ball. I'm sorry, to the, not the Freiermuth, the Metcalf play to start the Pittsburgh game 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Streak right up the sideline.
Yeah, streak right up the sideline. And in this case, Wiggins was right with him. He just didn't find the ball a la Brandon Stevens.
Yeah.
And it narrowly avoided his arm, but I thought the coverage was pretty good. Gilman got taken out on a mesh route where he got rubbed out of the play. That was something I'd be concerned about. Obviously, that wasn't just a simple single high look that they were in. It wasn't a zero look that they were in, I should say. And then they got beat on, you know, Wiggins got beat on the other side on a sluggo route where he just got taken to school at the top of the stem, which we, you know, is something we certainly hope doesn't happen to him very often. But the Green Bay presents a fairly significantly potent set of receivers, and that's just not what Pittsburgh has right now. So I've got my main fear in mind, but honestly, I'm not as concerned. I think the Ravens will play a fairly conservative, a lot of two high, some one high shell, and they'll take their chances on the outside in one high, with receivers going down the sidelines and having Wiggins and or Humphrey or Wouzier cover them.
Yeah, I think to further my point, I think it's more so the, like you mentioned, the pass to Metcalf, that was a ball out quick. I think those slot fades that they get up the sideline when they're in doubles, just spreading out the defense. It doesn't have to be five wide. I'm talking two receivers to one side, one to the boundary, one to the slot. Usually one runs a hitch, one runs a go. In those situations, I think Aaron Rodgers is definitely dangerous.
Okay. All right. I'll move on to my first matchup, which is Kyle Hamilton versus Pat Freiermuth. Freiermuth, a forgotten man for the Steelers, with only three games this entire season with more than 33 receiving yards. He's been in the high 20s, low 30s, a couple of times. But had 5 for 63 against the Browns. That included a 29-yard play on the drive that ultimately failed the Steelers and put the Ravens back in a playoff situation in Week 18, effectively. Hamilton will have some plays on him directly from slot corner if he's standing, some others even if he is at the end of the line of scrimmage, if the Ravens probably have Hamilton standing at the end there anyway, in a way that he'll be covering him and dropping from the line of scrimmage, dropping from a pass rush look. He'll be able to take him away some, I hope, as the weak side linebacker in dime. You know, Hamilton's underneath skills, one of the nice things you have with him, is a very tall player. Aaron Rodgers is not a tall quarterback, and he can put himself in a position where he can take a lane away and hopefully take away a receiver like Freiermuth, who's threatening the seam. So even if they have a slot corner and Ardarius Washington or whatever on him, hopefully it's a place where they can take that target away. If you're looking at other receivers who are potentially a problem, Gainwell has been getting 7 targets a week like clockwork. I expect that to continue a lot of it's an extension of the run game. So we'll see more of that. There is a video out there that I think overstates how good the opportunity was for Gainwell on the final 4th down throw to MVS this last week. If I look at it, I'm like, well, Schlesinger's in position to make that tackle. Of course, Schlesinger was playing hurt.
Yeah, very.
So
he was a warrior out there that day.
I mean, in a sense, it was good. And in a sense, it was really bad that the Browns continued to go with him.
Yeah, I thought sure. He was going to took him out.
Ball game. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when he was limping the second time, it was really bad.
All right. In the second half of the season, Calvin Austin is the other guy that everybody's talking about. Oh, well, Calvin Austin's back. Everything's fixed about the offense. Calvin Austin, in the second half of the season, this is 8 games, has 19 targets for 94 yards, 4.9 yards per target. Okay. Now, we remember him beating us for a PL 31 in the game against the Ravens, but 4.9 yards per target. I mean, he had a third of those yards on one target against the Ravens. The other two to him were incomplete in that game. But other than what he did against the Ravens, he hasn't done a damn thing in the second half of the season. And I don't think he might or might not be viewed as, wow, that's pretty good, I'll go to that by Rodgers. I think he still looks at MVS and says, that's a guy, I know at least what he's going to do, even after the second, third, and fourth down, or whatever 3 downs it was that he failed him this last week.
Yeah, and I think he'll probably try and get back to Thielen too. He had a missed back shoulder to Thielen that he had. I think they're probably going to kind of come back to that this week, especially with everything on the line.
2.8 yards per target for Thielen this last week.
Thielen? That, well, that fade was like, that back shoulder was like maybe 15, 20 yards down the field, right?
I don't remember it exactly where it was. I know he didn't have a lot of success in the game.
Yeah, for sure. I think it makes sense for us to attack them starting with their running backs and their tight ends, trying to clog up the middle of the field. And like you mentioned, Kyle Hamilton is the exact antidote we need for that. How has the snap count been between Gilman and Washington? Has it continuously gone up for Washington and down for Gilman, or has it stayed consistent?
Gilman played pretty much every snap this last week. He might have missed one or so. I don't have my defensive score sheet in front of me, so I can't tell you.
Okay.
The guy who's been missing Starks has been missing snaps when they take a safety out, or they drop into a Hamilton base defense. And they didn't have a single snap, not, let alone a base defense. They didn't play any single snap with 3 defensive linemen this last week. Not even one. So that's, they're pretty much committed to various forms of nickel and dime this week. And I think last week, this week, I think they probably we'll see some base defense, particularly when the Pittsburgh plays some of their larger packages.
Okay.
Are we good to move on here?
Unless you had anything else to put in.
I kind of lost track of where we are. The defensive line versus the offensive line is what we're talking about right now.
Oh, no, we can introduce that. I thought you were still on your point.
No, go ahead. Your point.
Second point is, like Ken mentioned, offensive line versus defensive line. I think that is exactly where this game starts and ends. We have to really force the pressure, force the issue up front. We really didn't get to Rodgers in the first game, and it showed because he almost looked like MVP Aaron Rodgers out there. He had the discount double check coming out in the beginning of the game. He was hot, and we really couldn't stop him.
Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything. Data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
I think the main thing is we have to get pressure up front, starting with Travis Jones and Jenkins, seeing if they can push the pocket, and then see if we can get Jones up there too. Continuing to be a force on the outside with the loops, and then also Green on the outside as well. And then trying to stop this run game, because if, just like Derrick Henry, not in the same essence, but if Warren and Gainwell get a full speed ahead to the line, they can make some noise going down the field, and that can be a problem because we have issues with tackling in the secondary, especially with Gilman and Nate Wiggins. So I think if we can prevent them from getting to the second level, force them to play within that box, in the seven-man box, then it's going to be a good day for us. Really just need to focus on getting pressure in Aaron Rodgers' face and making him uncomfortable. And we saw the result of that going against the Browns. Obviously, we did not have the same weapons or the passers of the Browns, but that same mentality of trying to get after him, making him uncomfortable, and the game will come to us offensively.
I'm gonna stick a pin in the running backs discussion you had, and I'll come back to that because it's really central to the point I'm going to make. Let's talk offensive line and defensive line, though. The Steelers have a very talented offensive line. It's one of the better ones in all of football, and it's happened fairly suddenly, with Dylan Cook actually being a better player than Broderick Jones was, which is not that surprising. I mean, Broderick Jones is a pretty lousy left tackle, but yeah. Dylan Cook has been terrific since he's come in. I mean, he's been like basically stepped in at left tackle like Patrick McCary has at times in the past, and been, you know, much better than expected in that role. They run about two-thirds zone. They've been effective doing that. I think the Ravens go with four nose tackles in this game. I think it'll be Urban, and there are other four nose tackles that be active. I don't think this is a game you take any chance on coming up a defensive lineman short against the Steelers rushing attack. You can't allow the Steelers to get in a position where they can run the game out on you if they do get the lead, and you also don't want them to generate any positive offense from the or even give themselves anything but difficult third down situations early in the game. Gainwell and Warren are both big time tackle breakers, although each of them is down a little bit this year. They're at 0.20 tackles and 0.24 tackles respectively missed per carry, whereas Henry is now at 0.14, actually 0.136, which is the worst of his career. So even in the game this last week, Henry had 6 missed tackles, which is his second highest total of the year, but it was in 36 carries, which meant it wasn't that impressive a rate at 0.17. So they're going to really need to limit those. I think the nose tackles controlling space against that Steelers offensive line and being able to create low ability for Roquan. Roquan's right now is in the groove in terms of tackling and moving to the spot. And they need to get that same ability out of Simpson as well as the oftentimes going to be the trail guy. But they need to find a way to do that. And I think we'll see the base defense a fair amount in this game. We haven't seen it really recently at all, but I think we'll see it a fair amount in this game against the Steelers OL6 looks and possibly against some Steelers 12 looks. Because normally, big nickel is a fairly reasonable alternative and certainly a good Ravens alternative versus 12. But given the way that the Steelers have looked recently in terms of what their receiving weapons are, and how good their offensive line is, I'd be inclined to mix it up between base and OL6. The other thing they could do is they could go to some jumbo nickel in this game where they take Simpson off the field.
Yeah.
They get the extra lineman in there, and then they still are able to go with 5 defensive backs. So that'd be another possibility here. But the Steelers' offensive line is without question, in my mind, the biggest strength they have relative to the Ravens' defense.
Yeah, and it really stands out when we look at them in their power run game, especially when they get into the short yardage situations. They always tend to convert it. Yes, last week they had the little wrinkle. They had the kind of the Ravens hurricane look with Casey Hayward.
Yep.
We need to prevent them from getting into that short yard point where it's push time for them and Aaron Rodgers is sitting back there looking pretty. I think that's where we probably lose the game if we get into those situations. So again, I think to prevent that, it's really getting pressure on Rodgers, forcing them to play their hand quick. I mean, if he wants to get ball out quick, that's fine. We have to get Urban in the game. Jones, hands up, ready to go to bat the ball down, get in those lanes, and then just cause havoc for this offense, and then just give the ball back to Lamar.
So I've kind of gone over my running back point here, but I'll add one more element here that I didn't talk about, and that is that Sam Alu, I believe, is still he's practicing. I didn't see whether he's limited or full on the first day of the week. I know it's likely that Watt is going to be playing at least to some pitch count that he might be on. Sam Alu is a huge factor for this team. He's their best lineman, and if he's back, it's a very big deal for the Steelers in terms of being that much more potent. And I think we've hit on everything else other than the Ravens really need to try and get after Gainwell in particular, who's a little bit of a fumbler, and take their second man shots on goal on him. Now, he's also a good tackle breaker, so you can't go exclusively to just kind of strip the ball and pry the ball free and let the first guy lose his tackle because of it. But there are some opportunities for second man attacks, both of them big play threats and both of them barbelled outcome guys though. So neither of them has a exceptional yards per carry for the year for the Steelers, and the Ravens have been exceptional stopping the run. So hopefully this is a game that the Ravens are able to deal with those guys.
And hopefully we don't miss Teddy a lot this game, because he's the kind of player that we would need going at the edge to corner, sideline to sideline with Roquan. I think Trenton Simpson has came on, though. He had that crucial tackle slash sack on Willis last week.
Yes.
For a really good stop. So he's shown his flashes. He's shown growth from where he has been. And I want to continue to see him push towards that way, and it's going to be in a big spot going against Pittsburgh for the division.
That's a great point, by the way. So 2 years ago, he played his first game in week 18 versus the Steelers, and his play in that game made a lot of people very optimistic about what his future looked like, because he hadn't played basically at all as a rookie other than on special teams.
It was Patrick Queen.
Then, of course, he lost his whole 2024 season in stages from being the de facto starter to begin the year to losing his job to the combination of Board and Harrison as the year went on, which really in retrospect looks pretty bad. And this year he lost it to Buchanan as a draft pick, and it's only Buchanan's injury that has him back in there. But you mentioned the spy play that he had to take down Willis. That was a huge play in that game. One of the biggest plays of the entire football game to hold them to a field goal there. And they need him to be able to
be decisive and just shoot it when he sees it.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I'm for that. I'm even saying in the passing game, Rodgers doesn't pose the same sort of run risk. Although he beat the Ravens for a running touchdown, recently. Yeah. But he needs to be able to contain and force the continuation pressures on Rodgers that will occur if Rodgers leaves the pocket. And that's something the Ravens haven't been really good at. And most of it's a function against mobile quarterbacks. So Rodgers not typically the guy that I think of as being, oh, the pocket's not in good shape. Let me roll over here to the right, and then I can make a throw later. He doesn't do too much of that anymore at his age. He tries to get the ball out of his hands very quickly. But when he does, a player like Simpson is the guy who's going to have to shut that down.
And honestly, I could see Rodgers doing that because it's a take it or go home game. So I think Rodgers is going to be more than willing to get out of the pocket and run. So I wouldn't leave that up to him not to do that. I think the Ravens should be ready and prepared for that. And I think to your point, when we go against non-mobile quarterbacks, we have a tendency to let them sleep out the back door. So I think we need to be ready for that, especially on those crucial third and fourth downs. When those QBs get those rushing first downs, that tends to be a backbreaker for the defense and the team's morale. So need to prevent that.
All right. Great stuff, Frazier. Always fun talking through this, the matchup shows with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yep. You can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
Thanks for all you listeners. This is a show where you can pose a question with #FilmStudyMailbag. I'll try and get it always to the appropriate show. Offense, defense, matchups, know your foe. A lot go to Friday Morning GM, and some end up in a 1 to 3 minute video that I'll just do directly and put out on Twitter, Reddit, Instagram, etc. Really appreciate your questions. They mean a lot to us, and they actually add a texture to the show that's really good. Sometimes it's something that we're not explaining well enough that we should do a better job with. And sometimes it's a case of something where somebody has a different idea about how things ought to be. And one of the I'll call it a problem of doing a show 350 times a year is that you're hearing my opinion a lot. So, forcing me out of that comfort zone and into other questions that you have is always nice. Guests do that a fair amount too, but always great to have the audience clued in. Thanks very much. Happy New Year, everyone. For Frazier Tabar and this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next time on Matchups. Mm-hmm.